Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Hi, well, good evening, and welcome to Healing Class. I am so ready to share with you this message from the scriptures. The scriptures are wonderful, but first we have to do this. I always forget this, but I'm not going to forget it this time. Okay, ready? This is my Bible. It's God's word to me. It strengthens me. It refreshes me. It's medicine to me. I love to read my Bible. Amen. I love to read my Bible. The Bible is God's voice to us. God speaks to us through the scriptures. And the more you read it over and over again, you'll find that not only do I understand it, I feel more peaceful, and God has something to say to me. So Janet and Derek and I, we love teaching healing classes. And what's fun, I was asking them, I said, okay, so what's your favorite healing passage in the Old Testament? And we all three loved the same passage on the Shunammite woman. And then we said, okay, favorite healing passage in the New Testament. And we all had something different. And I want to share with you tonight one of the most tender accounts of healing for me. It was one of the first ones that I came upon when I was really asking God, would you help me with healing? I believe you're a healer. I'm just not sure if you would be a healer to me. I don't know if I understand it or could grasp it. And so I happened upon, this was the first passage I came to in Matthew 8. And so we're gonna look at that, but I wanna share with you too, it's in three different accounts. I wanna share with you one thing that I've really received from this passage, and that is about the compassions of God. God is so compassionate, and healing really is the compassion of the Lord. And I know for me, I've had to begin to understand it, know what it is, and know that God has that kind of empathy, that kind of feeling towards me in my life. And so if we go here, first of all, I think I'll just pray. Father, I thank you that Your word is anointed and can bring healing to everyone here tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for what's in your words, and that tonight everybody will hear something that you want them to hear. Something will register on their heart, Lord. And I thank you for how merciful and kind you are to each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so here in Matthew 9:35, this is what compassion looks like. We can see compassion in what Jesus did. So Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So Jesus was among people. He understood us. He's teaching, he's preaching, and he's healing. And that is what compassion looks like. That's how God's showing us compassion in the person of Jesus. That word compassion in the Hebrew comes from a word that means womb, and it's like a mother's feelings of compassion that she has for the child in her womb. And we all know that when you've had a child and you hear that baby cry for the first time, it kind of gets you. You're like, ooh, I just feel this squishy feeling I never felt before. Well, you feel very close, you feel very tender towards a child. That's compassion in the Hebrew. That's how they define it there. In Greek, they define it as a shared suffering. And it's actually an action word that someone wants to relieve you of your pain, relieve you of whatever you're going through. And so it's an empathy that's not like, oh, well, I'm sorry you're going through that. It's someone that's like, how can I help you? How can I relieve you? How can I bring you ease? And God is a God of compassion. It's all over the scriptures. And God cares about us spirit, soul, and body. He cares about our basic everyday needs too. And sometimes just having that provided for can bring about a healing in our life. I love this, and I think it's so sweet. In Mark 8:2, it says, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and they don't even have anything to eat. I think that's so kind of the Lord with our basic needs. He's like, you need something to eat. You know, there's a healing in the New Testament of a man named Jairus. He's this aristocrat type of person, pretty known in the community, Jairus. His daughter was sick. She actually died. Jesus went to the house. He raises her from the dead. He's so sweet. He grabs her hand. He lifts her up. And you know what he says afterwards? Give her something to eat. She's going to need something to eat. You know what I find so interesting is the supernatural, which is above the natural, has the natural in it. It can be so natural, the supernatural things of God, you can miss it. Sometimes some of our healing can be where the Lord's like, you know, you're kind of eating some of the wrong things. If you back off on that, it will help you. That was true with me. In the healing that I received from the pancreas, I couldn't eat certain foods. Spicy foods were just agitating the pancreas. So what I had to do was just calm everything down. And so just that one little natural thing helped me. God can talk to you and go, you really haven't been sleeping a lot. You need more sleep. Sleep is healing for you too. So sometimes the natural things are very supernatural. And I love that God thinks that way. He thinks of everything. He cares about every facet of our life, every part of who we are. And I want to encourage you, if you're believing for just even a physical healing, let God heal you in many different ways. Let him bring a wholeness to your life, a healthy sense of who he even made you to be, to your entire life, because that's how he is compassionate towards us. He feels for you like nobody else will. He knows what's been spoken in your life. He knows what's been done to you in your life. And he gets us. We're not too complex for him. He loves us. And he absolutely knows how to reach us and knows how we can receive. And sometimes, again, it's very natural. Now, I think it's very interesting in Isaiah 49:15. It says this, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? And the answer is, surely they may forget. But God says, I will never forget you. I love that that scripture here is likening compassion to forgetting. I think as people, we all need to be remembered. We need to be known. We need to feel loved. We need to feel safe. And that's everything of who God is. And sometimes when you feel safe and you feel loved and you feel known and you feel heard, which is everything of who God is to us, then you relax and you rest in the fact that he wants to heal you. He wants to help you. And there's nothing you're going through that is too hard for him at all. And it never will be. You know, this won't be the first thing that you go through that's difficult. I've lived long enough to go, there's many things. But what I have seen in my life is the faithfulness of God over and over and over again. No matter what situation I'm in, no matter what healing I need, God is faithful and forever will be. And look at this. Psalm 86:15 says this, but you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion. You're gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in mercy and truth. He's full of compassion. He's not like, I've had it up to here with you, and I don't know if I feel very compassionate towards you, because you're coming to me all the time, or you have this problem all the time. Like, he's not that way. He is full of compassion. He's gracious. He's long-suffering. And I just love that about him as I've gotten to know him. Don't be upset that you're needing healing at this time. Just think about, I'm going to get to know God more. I'm going to get to know who he is, and he's going to get to know me because I'm going to pray. I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to share everything in my life with him. So when I think about the compassions of God and the love of God and how he wants to reassure us of his love, he's active towards us, looking to relieve us. I think of this one story of my youngest son, Michael. He was 6 years younger than my daughter and 9 years younger than my son. So he was way down the line there. He was very attached to me, and he didn't like to be away from me. And everywhere he went, he's like, Mom, I'm like, I'm right here. So when he had to go to kindergarten, he was afraid. He was afraid from being away from me, and he had these little glasses. He looked like a little bug. He was ridiculously cute. And so I, as a mom, too, had a hard time. I felt for him because he just kind of looked kind of sad sometimes. So I'm like, listen, don't worry about it. I'm going to walk you to the bus stop. The bus is going to come, and you're going to be okay. I love you, and you're safe. So I had this thing. I would walk him to the bus stop, and I would sign, I love you. I'm saying, I love you. And he would put, I love you, on my hands. And I said, you're going to be okay. You're going to go to school, and the teachers are going to take care of you. And you're going to come home on the school bus, and I'm going to be right here waiting for you. And I love you, and you have that, and God loves you, and you're going to be okay. So then he'd get on the bus, and he'd look out the window, and he was little. He was kindergarten, so you could just see his glasses over the window. And I'd say, I love you. I'd wave my hand like this, and I'd see his hand come up in the bus. I love you, too. And I was like, okay. We did it day after. I did it every day. Alan's like, you're going to just make him so, like, that's a girl thing. I was like, well, no, I know it is. It's a mom thing. I can't help it. I just do this. So I'm saying I love you. Week, month, months. And one day I have this movie moment. I was the only mom at the bus stop. I'm signing I love you. And every child on that, in all the windows, started waving I love you to me. I was like, I can't believe this. Everybody's waving I love you. And they couldn't see each other because they were really little, you know, so nobody's looking at each other. They're just, I was like, what everybody thought I was. But you know what? Love and compassion from God is for everyone. He loves us all. You may have felt unlovable. You may have felt that the people in your life that should have loved you didn't. They rejected you like a mother could reject. How could that happen? I mean, my mom is Italian. It's like, no one loves you like your mom. But that's not what the scriptures say, actually. God loves you more. And if you didn't have a mom or someone or a husband or someone who loved you, God does. He will never forget you. And that's another reason why I absolutely was very tender towards this passage of scripture, which I first came upon. Because not only did I need physical healing for the pancreas, I really needed a lot of emotional healing. I was not steady, not strong emotionally, and I found an answer in this passage. So are you ready to go to it? We're going to read it in three different accounts because Matthew, Mark, and Luke all talk about this same passage. And it's small. It's like four verses. But what I love, and you go, why do they repeat Matthew, Mark? Are they contradicting each other? Not at all. All it is different viewpoints. Like, let's say Matthew's at one place and he's watching Jesus do a healing. He sees something and hears something different than Luke does. Luke hears something different. Mark hears something different. To me, it's a beautiful, just a cumulative look at what is happening. And one fills in something that the other didn't see and hear. Matthew and Mark are Jewish, so they come from that mindset. Luke is a Gentile and he's a doctor. So I just love looking at this. What I did when I received healing, I put myself in the story. I asked myself questions, and I related to it. It was as though I was stepping into the story. So I'm going to show you how I did that, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. In Matthew 8, it says this. When he, Jesus, had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, look, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priests, offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. What I love about this is you could see in this passage, he believed that God was able to heal him. He's like, you can do this. I just don't know if you would want to. Would you be willing and want to heal me? And that was something that I had to really resolve before the Lord and go, I haven't really known or believed that my life was valuable enough or you would want to do that for me. But I also realized that if I really thought that, then I didn't quite understand the love of God. Because if someone can't help you, they don't have the means to help you, but they would if they could. They're like, if I had the money, I'd give it to you. If I had the means, I would help you. That's someone who loves you. And you know they love you, even though they can't, they don't have it. But if somebody has the ability, has the money, has something that can help you, and they just won't, you feel like they don't love you very much. They don't care about you very much. You're not valuable enough for them to give you what they have. So he's saying here, I believe you're able, but would you want to heal me? Jesus answers it by touching him. Yes. And he touches someone nobody touches. Nobody touches a leper. It's contagious. It was a horrible disease. But Jesus isn't afraid. And no matter what you're going through, he's not afraid of the dark. He's not afraid of a diagnosis. He touches what nobody else touches. And if you feel like your life has been untouchable, nobody would want to get to know me, nobody would want to help me, well, that's not how Jesus feels. He touches us when we feel we're at our worst, when nobody else would. And I'll tell you, when you receive a healing emotionally and realize that you are loved and valuable to God, that he would have compassion on you, then being relieved physically, just almost, it's not hard. You're like, of course he would heal me. Of course he would, because he loves me. It's who he is. And my prayer for all of us is that we come to know and be rooted and grounded in the love of God in a deeper way than we ever have before. It changes everything in life. It takes the spook out of life, because you're like, I'm loved. God will help me. He gets me. I'm not too complex for him. So let's see what Mark has to say, right? Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down. The other said worship, so the worship looks like he's on his knees. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Then look, Jesus moved with compassion. So Jesus heals. Why? Because he's tender towards us, because he feels towards us, because he's looking to relieve us. He's not like, sorry. No, he's like, I want to help you. Moved with compassion, he stretches out his hand and touches him and says, I am willing, be cleansed. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. So you see that he's like, okay, Jesus is moved with compassion. Do you love how all the different accounts, they're like, well, this is what I saw, and this is what I heard, and this was my impression of what Jesus did, and they really all work together. Okay, now Luke is a doctor. He's a doctor. He's a Gentile as well. And it happened when he was in a certain city that behold a man who was, listen to him, full of leprosy. He's full of leprosy. He sees Jesus. He falls on his face and he implores him and he says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him saying, I am willing. And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest. Make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. I love this, full of leprosy. So Luke, as a doctor, notices this disease is advanced. And leprosy would be called, I think they called it Hansen's disease. It's a horrible disease. The skin, the nervous system, people go numb. They don't feel anything at all. They lose extremities, fingers, toes, noses, ears. It's really a bad disease. And if you didn't feel horrible because you're disfigured with this disease, you'd feel horrible because you're isolated. You had to leave your family, anyone who loved you, and anyone who saw you was like, you know, get away. You're going to infect me. You're unclean. Well, I tell you, sometimes life is that way to us emotionally, and people have made fun of you or treated you wrong or treated you negatively or isolated you and say, we don't want you around. You stay over there. That is never God. That's not who he is. He doesn't isolate us at all. He actually invites us, come and be with me. I'm not afraid of you. You're not too scary for me. You're not too advanced of a stage for God not to do something in your life, to touch you, to cause you to be able to live again. I love that God touches hurting humanity. He forever will. When we're at our worst, he still touches us, and he loves us deeply, deeply, deeply. Now, just so you know, when they said to them, go show yourself to the priest. So he heals them of leprosy, but he's like, I want you to be able to get back to your family, get back into the community. But there is this rule that they had. You have to show yourself to the priest. They actually would give an offering. I'm not taking up an offering, but they actually would give an offering when they were shown that I am cleansed from leprosy, which didn't happen much. They would give an offering. And then you know what they do? They do a sacrifice. They put blood on the right ear, the right thumb, and the right toe. And it was like a consecration. It was like, I am going to listen to you. I'm going to do whatever you want me to do, and I'm going to go wherever you want me to go. And at this time, when you're believing for healing or anything from God, if I can encourage you, consecrate your life, reconsecrate your life in the deepest way you absolutely know how, that you're like, Lord, this is your voice to me. I'm listening. Whatever you ask me to do, if I don't even understand it, but it's in your scriptures, my ear wants to hear what you have to say. My hands are yours. I'll do what you ask me to do. Help me, Lord, to do that, and I'll go wherever you want me to go. You want me to go to church? I'll go to church. Do I need to go to another healing class? We have one on Sunday morning. I will go where you want me to. You reconsecrate your life, and that was part of the healing. And you know what happened from there? They're able to just come right back to their family and re-engage and not be alone and have people love them. And that's what God wants for absolutely all of us. My experience too with healing when I was sick is it isolates you. You're off in a room. You're off to yourself. I missed out on so many things. But I thought, well, I'm going to pray and commune with God until I can get back engaged and gain my strength again. So I believe God is speaking to all of us. And you have to know God loves us, and he has a tender place in his heart for us. So this is a true story. I just heard this story. I hope I haven't told it to you before, but if I did, you'll have to listen again, sorry. But so there's this minister in England, and he has a church there. They're seeing a quiet revival over there, but the church isn't in a nice part of town. And so the police were doing a lot of arrest of gang members around there, drug lords and all that stuff. So a drug gang member came up to this minister, and they call him a vicar. And he had all his gang with him, and he's like, he's red in the face, and he's mad. He's like, I'm going to kill you. You had my friends arrested. You did this to my family, and you called the police on us. And he said he was really quite a scary personality. And he's like, oh, he was taken back about it. And in that moment, he's like, God, I need your help to know, what do I say to this man? What do I say to this man? I mean, he's threatening my life. He's a scary, we know he's probably killed people before. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord told him, ask him if he needs healing in his hip. And he's like, Lord, this is like not the moment really for that. But he asked him, he says, do you need healing in your hip? And the man goes, no. And he just gets really upset and he just leaves. And so the minister is like, okay, well, maybe it was distracting. I don't know what that was. Maybe I missed God. I'm not sure. And weeks went by, and in England, not everybody has a car. So he's walking home, and the gang member, he walks right into him, and he's like, he's afraid of this man. He's a scary person. He's threatened his life. And he said, Vicar, I want to ask you, how did you know I had something wrong with my hip? I haven't told anyone. I haven't even gone to the doctor. How did you know? He said, I didn't know. I can just tell you it came to me, and that God has a soft place in his heart for you. He wants to help you, and he wants to heal you. Can I pray for you? So he said, he just said, yes, I'll let you pray for me. He laid his hand on him and prayed a simple prayer. God, I ask you to heal this man. I know you love him. Amen. He said, and then I ran off because he's a scary man. I was really kind of still afraid of him. Didn't see him for weeks. All of a sudden, he bumps into him again with all his friends, and he's like, oh! And he says, guess what, Vicar? Guess what? My hip. I have had relief. I have had healing in my hip. Tell them. Tell my friends what you told me. And he says, what part do you want me to tell them? He says, that God has a soft place in his heart for me. And he said, God does. He has a soft. And he goes, will you pray for me, the friend? Will you pray for me? God has a soft place in his heart for us. And when we know that, and you know how loved you are, then you can receive anything from God. And nothing's too hard and nothing's too big because you're loved. The compassions of God are so strong. Healing is just a compassion. It's absolutely who he is. And so I put on here, in our receiving, I think for me, knowing that God wanted to heal me. And you have to know God wants to heal you. In Acts 10:38, it says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. You know what I love about this? If you want to simplify your theology, this is it. This verse right here. God is good, the devil's bad. God heals, the devil oppresses with sickness and disease. And you go, but life, I don't understand some things. I'll tell you something. Always stay on God's side. Even when you don't understand it, even when it doesn't make sense, one thing you can always say and you can always pray, I know you're good. I don't understand what's happening. I know you're good. I know you heal. I know the devil's bad, and I know he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You did not do this to me. All I know is you're good. And you go, but it doesn't answer the problem. It does. If you keep saying that, God is good, and he'll be good to me, and he loves me. You can see life begin to happen. It'll be like a plant that just got some water on you. And all of a sudden, have you ever had a plant that you're like, surely it's dead? You put some water on it, and I'm like, oh, there's a little bit of green in there. It just perked up a little bit. Sometimes what you just need a little bit of knowing that God cares about you. He hears. And his scriptures will always water you. When you're reading the scriptures, read the Bible with expression. Read it like it is the voice of God to you. Every time you read it, it's life and medicine. Even though you don't feel like it, it is. The fact that I'm reading this over you, all these scriptures, it's no different than a therapy. It's no different than anything a doctor would give you, the great physician, because in God's words, every part, everything in God's words is his breath, is life, is medicine. And it makes me approach the scripture so reverently. And I want to encourage you, when you read your Bible, and I always say, I love to read my Bible, because I really do. But when you reverently read your Bible, just like the man, that leper, he came to Jesus, he worshiped him, he's on his knees. That's a show of reverence, it's a show of humility. Because he's like, and I really believe that when you come to the Lord or come to church, it's so easy to go, I have to go to church again, or I had to read my Bible, or I didn't get to read my Bible. But when you go, I love to read my Bible. God will speak to me. I love that I can go to church. And even if I don't understand something, God's words are life and medicine to me. He's doing something in me I don't even see. And so when you do that, the reverence too is another thing that will help us. But I think when you know how much God loves you, you can't help but go, thank you. Thank you that you would love me. Do you know God loves and regards the low estate of people? And he says it. Mary said it. She said, you regarded my low state. Like everybody thought not much of me at all. Everybody thought lowly of me. But you would regard me. God regards us as people. And so we always state God's good. He's compassionate. He's kind. And he will be good to me. He wants to do that. He longs to do that. He's ready to do that. He's eager to do that for me. And if you've never done it before, I want to encourage you to do that now. God loves me. I am safe with him, that he will have compassion on me. Hebrews 4:5 says this, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. I like that verse, because sometimes I have really big feelings. Do you have big feelings sometimes? And I'm like, you know, life happens, or you get a diagnosis or something happens. You're like, I was fine, and now I have a very big feeling. And I talk to the Lord like that. I go before him. I talk to him real natural. And I'm like, I'm having a really big feeling, and I know that you understand my weaknesses, and I don't feel very strong right now, and I know you sympathize and you empathize with me, Lord, and I need help. And he does. God, in his son Jesus, he felt everything we felt. He's touched with everything, and that's why he gets us. We're not too complex for him. Maybe everybody else in your life went, I don't understand you. I don't understand. My birth dad used to, he told his second wife and all, he's like, Joy is just spacey. Yeah, I was like, I don't think that's very complimentary, but you know, sometimes people don't think very well of you. But that's not God. He gets us. He loves us, and he's touched with us, with the feelings that we have. And so I go to him with my feelings. You are not your feelings, though. You are what God says you are. Don't let your feelings lead you, because they'll deceive you. Let God lead you. Let what he says lead you and guide you. And then it says this in Lamentations 3:22 and 23, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. Why aren't we consumed? Because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is the faithfulness of the Lord. I love this. Sometimes, and don't we all have like a really not so good day? I'm like, I would really not like to have today again. I don't like today. It just wasn't. But at the end of the day, I always will reflect on it and go, but where could I find God? It's very interesting. Even in a no good, bad day, I can usually find where God was. But you know what? I'll always say, well, tomorrow has new mercy. God's compassion will not fail. Tomorrow has new mercy. And if Dad, Alan, I'll wait till I tell him I called him Dad. Can't wait to tell him that. That's good. Okay, so Alan, he'll have a day and I'll go, tomorrow's new mercies. So I'm not trying to sound trite or anything, but the Bible says tomorrow will be better. It'll have all new mercies. Why? Because his compassions, his feeling towards us, his tenderness towards us will never fail. It will be there every single morning. And I love that. That gives us hope. He gives us hope that God will be there for us and he'll help us. And that's why I love seeking him. You want to seek him. You can trust him with everything and anything in your life. And there's nothing too hard for him. Absolutely nothing. No matter what you're going through, there is nothing, not a thing that's too hard for him. Not a progression and a diagnosis that's too much for him. He is the God of heaven and earth, who's mindful of mankind, who made you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. If he made you, he can fix you. He can repair you. And there is just nothing too hard. And that's physical and emotional. Because sometimes people have emotional stuff and they're like, that's just me. I'm just like that. I'm moody, but you don't have to be. Isn't that wonderful? The opportunity that God gives us, he's like, you don't have to live like that. You can actually have joy and happiness again. You can actually have a peace that maybe you never experienced in your family. God can make it so that you're able to sleep at night and you're able to handle problems that you're like, I would have gone crazy years ago. But I'm really okay because I know God's with me. I know he loves me, and I know I'm safe with him. And I'm absolutely convinced of the compassions of the Lord, and they're not just out there. They're towards me. He would do that for me. Jeremiah 32:27 says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Now, I had to answer that question. When I read the scriptures, I'm like, do I think the situation I'm going through is too hard for God? And I'm honest. Sometimes I'm like, I have thought that, Lord. So would you help me? Would you help me reframe my thinking? Because I believe you're big. I believe you're good. And I want to believe that this is not too hard for you at all. Would you help me? And you know what? He will help you. And it also says in Matthew 19:26, but Jesus looked at them and said, with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. There is nothing impossible with God. He can do absolutely anything. Where medical science, they do the best they can, but sometimes they're like, we're out of ideas. That's what happened to me. They were out of things to do. They didn't know what to do with me. And so I was left with nothing but the scriptures. That's all I had. And I was like, but the scriptures made me whole. And not just in my pancreas and my body, in my soul, in my emotional well-being too. And that's why I just happened to love this, because this man that was isolated and rejected is accepted and touched by God in a real special way. I want to tell you one more story, and then I want to show you something. When I was in the hospital after I had surgery, I didn't really know what to expect. And when I woke up, I had all these tubes, and I was kind of tied to the bed. I couldn't get up. The only thing I could see was my hands. And so a scripture came to me. I'll hold your right hand, and I'll say to you, don't be afraid. I will help you. And I just remember that. And Alan would come, and he didn't understand everything. And I had a neighbor a couple of houses down that had been a nurse. She went to for more education and became an engineer. So she's working at St. Luke's as an engineer. And she comes to see me. And she's in a really pretty, like, light beige silk blouse. She's got a skirt on. She's got high heels. She's dressed for the day. She's like this big person at St. Luke's. But she had been a nurse. She comes in. I'm like, oh, Melissa, look at, I mean, I haven't been able to comb my hair, brush my teeth. I feel, I'm yucky. I'm sorry you have to see me like this. She's like, I've been a nurse. seen all this. And she goes, you know what? You're not going to get a bath today. The floor's too busy. And she undoes her buttons and rolls her sleeves up. And she says, I'm going to give you a bath. I went, Liz, you can't. I'm so yucky. She goes, I've done all this before. She didn't even put an apron on. And she proceeded to brush my teeth, wash my face, comb my hair, bathe me. It was very humbling. But I was like, you would care for me that much. And you're dressed so nicely, and you didn't even think about that. You would help me. And with that, what she did for me was, I've thought often, God rolls up his sleeves for us. And they're much nicer than silk sleeves that we have here on earth. And he can do something in your life that nobody else can do when you're like, but I'm yucky. I haven't been able to do anything. This was so different than I expected. But God's like, but I still can do something. I can help you. I can bring you relief. I remember feeling a sense of peace after Melissa left, and feeling very loved and cared for. And my prayer for you is that you feel so loved and cared for by the Lord, and you receive healing in your spirit, in your soul, emotional realm, and in your body. And when you receive, and I say when, because I believe God has it for all of us, when you receive relief and ease, and someone says, the diagnosis is off of you, I really believe you'll feel what I felt. You're just going to feel loved by God. There's no pride or anything. Are you like, I couldn't do a thing for myself? It is purely, God is everything of loving and kind, and he goes around and he heals. He'll relieve me, and he'll relieve anybody. And you'll be able to say to somebody else, I'm just a mercy. God was merciful to me. And maybe I can pray for you, because he'll be merciful to you too. So as I finish up, I learn in a lot of different ways. I love visuals. I love to look at things different ways. When I'm studying, when I'm praying, I like to step into a story and make it as real to me as possible. I'll ask myself questions. So there was this one scene. It's in The Chosen. Has anybody watched The Chosen? Okay, you love it, right? Okay. I can't tell you. I haven't watched all of it at all, so I can't tell you all of it. I just watched the first season, I think, during COVID. And this one scene where Jesus is healing the leper, the man that we talked about, was so real to me. Now, in this, they took two little sections that aren't scriptural. I'll tell you where they are. We have no idea if they're scriptural. They did plausible things. And that is, the man that's a leper says, my sister was at the wedding of Cana and she told me about you. We have no record that says he has a sister or his sister was at the wedding of Cana. We do know he had to have heard that Jesus was a healer. We have no idea how or who said that to him. Somebody did. He believed. He came to the Lord. So they did a plausible thing there too. And at the end, Jesus says, you know, do you need a cloak or a tunic? And so one of the disciples gives him. We don't have that in the scriptures either. But other than that, it's pretty close to what Jesus is showing us here. And the reason why I wanted you to see this piece, I really believe God wants to impress upon your heart in every way who he is. And with the image, when you watch this, that Jesus is putting his hand on you. His hand. And let his hand rest on you. My kids used to move away from my hand, you know. But let his hand, let him touch you. Let him talk to you. This is an impossible situation that Jesus heals. And it's a real story. And God wants you to have a real story of healing. So this is how I'm going to end. And I found this. So, and the closed caption is on here as well. So here we go.
Not to spoil this beautiful day or anything, huh? Come on.
It's a leper. Stay back.
Cover your mouth. Don't breathe his air.
Don't come any closer.
It's okay, John. It's okay. Rabbi. No. Rabbi. Rabbi.
You can't let his disease. You can't.
Please. Please don't turn away from me.
I won't.
Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Only if you want to, I submit to you. My sister, she was a servant at the wedding. She told me what you can do. I know you can heal me if you are willing.
I knew it. What can I ever do?
No. Do not say anything to anyone.
You don't seek your own honor?
Please just do me this one thing.
But what do I tell people?
Go, show yourself to the priest. Let them inspect you and see that you are cleansed. Make the proper offering in the temple as Moses commanded. And go on your way.
Who has an extra tunic? Just one of you. That's enough. Green is definitely your color. Not too shabby.
Is that good? That's just exactly what we read. Go with this. God's hand is on you. His hand that heals, his hand that loves you, his hand of compassion. There's nothing too hard, and he wants you to come through. And you can. You can. Amen. We're praying for you. Okay? Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.